Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. A Virginia earthquake has been felt from Atlanta to Chicago to Toronto, with shaking especially scary in the concrete jungle of Manhattan Island in New York City. The shaking was felt in Boston. The White House and Pentagon have been evacuated. Two nuclear reactors were taken offline, but no, the Washington Monument is not tilting. Megyn Kelly on Fox News was had on that one. This is a significant event on the East Coast, and it follows a day after Colorado had a significant tremor, which is unusual. It reminds me of the debate that I was in just a few years ago. It was on the age of the earth, and in a few minutes, I'll share some of that. It was on the age of the earth, and I was debating a well-known geophysicist named John Nicol. He's the president of EEGS, Environmental and Engineering Geophysical Society. After the debate, John Nicol asked me, he said, "Bob, if you guys are right and the earth is really young, then we geologists, we should be giving governments much greater warnings about earthquake risk." And I said, "John, that's exactly right. You should be giving greater warning to governments for earthquake risks." And of course, he disagreed that the earth is young. And because the earth is young, the crust of the earth would be much more unstable than if it had been settling for 4.7 billion years. So since our debate, since the debate, actually it was on February 28th, 2004, I just looked it up. Since the debate, four of the top 10 most powerful earthquakes in the last 100 years have hit since the debate. Remember in 9/11, 3,000 Americans were killed by terrorists? Well, since our debate, over 600,000 people have been killed from earthquakes. 600,000. Compared to 3,000, the great tragedy of the terrorist attack on September 11, 2001. But go from that loss of life 3 years later to 2004 when we had our debate, and since then, 637,000 people have died. So the argument made by those who are biblical creationists is that there are more earthquakes and tsunamis than the old earth geologist would predict, because the crust of the earth has not been settling for over 4 billion years. This is a young earth, and it's in the throes of a crustal turmoil that a young earth might experience, especially after the global flood that happened only thousands of years ago. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. Also, this week is the 3-year anniversary of American Right to Life putting the sign on the mountain when Barack Obama came to Denver, and they put the world's largest protest sign up on the foothills of the Rocky Mountains overlooking the Denver metropolitan area. That'll be in 3 days from now. It'll be the 3-year anniversary. And I'd like also to talk about that, American Right to Life unfurling the world's largest protest sign. It had 22 letters. You could read it from miles away, almost 10 miles away. There's a photo of it at American Right to Life's website. There are dozens of photos, including from the Associated Press and throughout the media and video. There's a photo from 7 miles away, and you could read it beautifully. There's a photo of the sign with the Statue of Liberty superimposed on it. The sign has 22 letters. It spells out DNC, destroys unborn children. And the Statue of Liberty, actual size superimposed over the sign, it covers up only three of the letters. Three of the 22 letters. It's just an astounding large sign. And it was made by sewing together. I tell you, American Right to Life, they're creative, these guys. They sewed together 2,400 sheets. Sheets, like bed sheets. Remember here at Bob and Yurt Live, we were helping out, and for a few months before Barack Obama came to Denver for the DNC fiasco, where these child killers are bragging about the blood that they shed. And so we asked our audience, if you could, if you have old sheets around your house, box them up and mail them in. And people mailed in sheets from around the country. An American Right to Life, I don't know where they got all these sheets, but we gave them a lot of sheets. But they got 2,400 sheets sewed together by more than 4 miles of seams. And the sign was backpacked onto location and unfurled by 44 letter carriers. There were letter carriers who had backpacks. You could see photographs of all this and video. And there was even a training video that was made for the letter carriers to train them on how to unfurl the sign on location on the mountain, on North Table Mountain in Golden, Colorado. And they pulled it off with spotters a mile away communicating with the 44 letter carriers who were on the mountain to make sure that there was proper letter placement. And then there was follow-up expert verification by a government scientist who used sophisticated software tools to document the exact size of the sign. And it's interesting that the sign was 666 feet wide. Now, could that have been a coincidence? 666 feet wide and about, what, 580 feet tall. So maybe a little bit more on that also in a bit. So we've got the Virginia earthquake and the BEL earthquake warning policy that geophysicists would do well to consider. And then this week being the 3-year anniversary of putting the sign on the mountain, the world's largest protest sign. And then in San Francisco, the San Francisco 49ers. Now, what's wrong with this story? The San Francisco 49ers have said that they're going to ban tailgate parties during and after games. And the NFL commissioner is considering whether or not to allow, it looks like he's going to cancel the preseason game between the rivals, San Francisco 49ers and the Oakland Raiders, that he's going to cancel that game because of the two fans who were shot, one nearly killed, and another fan who was beaten to within an inch of his life. And there's all this violence at what should be an enjoyable afternoon at the ballpark. Well, not the ballpark, at the stadium. And so what's wrong with all this? And why should it be that this private industry, this private business, the San Francisco 49ers, why should they have to ban tailgate parties? I mean, is that a tailgate party is a crime, or a preseason football game is a crime? It's no longer a justice system. Now it's just a system. That's why these things are happening. Crime is epidemic, because our criminal justice system is not the best system in the world, which all of our attorneys tell us, right? They say, if you go to court for jury duty, the judge will say, we have the best system in the world. Now, let me translate, because they speak legalese. They speak Latin a lot. Let me tell you what that means in English. In Latin, it's, we have the best system in the world, but that's a Latin phrase. In English, it means we have the highest paid lawyers in the world. That's what it means in English. So when they say we have the best system in the world, what they mean is this is the easiest way I have found to make a lot of money. That's what they mean. Because if we had the best criminal justice system in the world, then you would think the results of it would be good. And the results are measured in things like violent crime rates and sexual assault rates and incarceration rates and murder rates. Those are the measurements that you use to determine whether or not a criminal justice system is good or bad. Those are the metrics. And so if you have, as we do, the U.S. has one of the worst systems in the world, when you take into account that we have among the world's highest rates for violent crime, for sexual assault, for incarceration, among the world's highest murder rates, our recidivism rate is through the roof. And so when you look at all that, you realize that, oh, when the lawyers say that we have the best system in the world, they must mean something other than that our criminal justice system works. They must not mean that, so they must mean something else, and it must have to do with their wallets and their checking accounts. So our justice system provides insufficient deterrence. Because of that, private companies are pushed into absurd responses like banning tailgate parties. How about when you have cities that ban the sale of spray paint because they can't control teenagers with their graffiti and ruining property? Or was it in Detroit some years ago? We reported on Bob and Yurt Live that a young boy was walking to first grade down the sidewalk in a housing development, one of the projects, and he got shot to death from somebody in one of the housing projects through a first floor window of an apartment. Remember that story? I remember that story. It was not too long after a boy in New York City was walking to school, to first grade, and he was kidnapped and raped by a homosexual. And the police told the boy's mother that the man who raped her son had HIV. I remember this story. We reported this. And the homosexual community in New York City was outraged that that person's privacy was violated by telling the mother that the rapist had HIV. Do you remember that? I remember that. But the punchline in Detroit was, here's what they did. The housing authority in Detroit, this is what they did, because this tragedy of a child being killed while he's walking to school. So what's a liberal to do? They banned the renting of first floor apartments in the projects. That's what they did. You can't rent first floor apartments. You only could rent second floor and above. Now that was a stunningly brilliant maneuver, wasn't it? Because from the second floor and above, you have to be a much better marksman. You have to have better aim to kill a child walking to school. So they figured, all right, we'll solve this problem. We won't let people rent from the first floors. The inmates are running the asylum. The inmates are running the asylum. When you see a football team having to ban tailgate parties, and when you see the NFL commissioner considering canceling a football game because of expected violence, mayhem, you realize that our system, the foundation of our society, is crumbling. It's crumbling. And let me tell you, when the pro-life industry for decades has been teaching Christians to compromise on God's enduring command, do not murder, and support Republicans who advocate killing, intentionally killing some kids, usually thousands or hundreds of thousands or millions of children. You know, they don't advocate killing as many children as, say, Barack Obama, but George W. Bush, during his years in the White House, he advocated killing hundreds of thousands of children by his own policies. And so you take the people who should be the moral anchors of the country, the Christians who are involved in trying to turn this country around, and you teach them that it's okay to support leaders who kill millions. Actually, George W. Bush, what is it? It's over 3 million children that he advocated killing. Just go to exceptionscalculator.com and type in George W. Bush and click on his policies, or go to prolifeprofiles.com. Look at George W. Bush and you'll see. By his own policies, he advocated the killing of over 3 million children. When good people become moral relativists, the good people, they become moral relativists so that they can support murderers as long as they think that their mass murderer is better than the other guy's mass murderer. And so if that's the state of the salt and the light in the nation, Jesus wants us to be salt and light. So if the good people support killing hundreds of thousands of innocent children every year, the good people, what do you think the bad people are going to do if the good people do it? Years ago, I preached a sermon at Denver Bible Church on the moral anchor. And are you a moral anchor? When churches begin to slide and denominations begin to slide, and leaders begin to slide. We're surprised when our judges think that sexual immorality is perfectly acceptable and homosexuality is good and pornography is good. When our Christian leaders think that you have a right to produce and sell pornography, they just want to regulate it. That's our Christian leaders. That's the best Christian leaders we have. They're the best ones. So, of course, we end up living in a society where there is a crime epidemic. Of course we do, because nobody knows right from wrong. Nobody knows right from wrong, and good is called evil, and evil is called good. And we Christians, we have an opportunity to be salt and light, because the darker the society becomes, the brighter Christ light can shine through us. When we simply tell the truth, you tell the truth, and you'll win people over to the Lord and to eternal salvation. So one man was beaten unconscious in a bathroom inside the stadium at Candlestick Park on Saturday. And two others were shot. One is in critical condition, and in fact, so is the man who was beat. And another man was shot, but not in a life-threatening way, but he's still been in the hospital. And so what does this all tell us? It tells us that it's an illustration that we do not have the best system in the world. And that when you hear a judge or a lawyer say that, you could just remind yourself that this person doesn't understand criminal justice. And if they did, they would know that we have a horrendous system. When you have a crime epidemic is the result of failed government. And believe me, we had a crime epidemic way back when Republicans were president. This is not an Obama thing. The murder rate goes up and down a bit because you put 2 million people in jail. And of course, the murder rate goes down a little bit. Leftists, those who don't look to God for absolutes, leftists want to make it so that you cannot commit a crime. And those who look to God for wisdom and justice, they realize that the goal is to make it so people will not commit a crime. It's not ability, but it's will. It's the will. You have to affect the will. You have to deter. You don't make it impossible. Well, there were no crimes at the tailgate parties at the game because there were no tailgate parties. So there's no crime at the tailgate parties. There was no crime at the preseason game between the 49ers and the Raiders because there was no preseason game. They try to make it so that you can't commit a crime. And I don't blame the NFL. They're functioning within the criminal system that we have. Of course, you could blame the NFL for many other things, but not that. So now I'd like to get back to the Virginia earthquake. The story is obviously extraordinary. And Fox News, Megyn Kelly, she did get it wrong. The Washington Monument is not tilting. That was also picked up by the Washington Times, and it was tweeted all over the world. The Washington Times is, the Washington Monument is tilting after the Virginia earthquake, but it's not, thankfully. It's not tilting. But we have still had four of the top 10 most powerful earthquakes in the last century have occurred since the debate that I participated in, the Age of the Earth debate, in February of 2004. Remember the earthquake off the coast of Sumatra? Now, this earthquake was, what, 5.8 to 5.9? Off the coast of Sumatra, there was an earthquake of 9.1 magnitude. And on the Richter scale, when you go from an 8 to a 9, that's not a 12% increase in force, in energy released. It's not twice as strong. It's 10 times greater. It's a 10 times more powerful earthquake, a 9 on the Richter scale as compared to an 8. And we had, remember, off the coast of Japan in March of this year, a 9.0 earthquake off the coast, which caused the tsunami that created the nuclear crisis and killed so many people. We have had, while governments have spent way more than $1 trillion attempting to minimize the risk of terrorist attacks after 9/11 in 2001, that was 3,000 dead, great tragedy. And of course, there have been terrible terrorist attacks elsewhere around the world. But in contrast to those deaths, in the few years since our debate on the age of the earth, there have been 637,000 people killed from earthquakes. 637,000. That's nearly 100,000 deaths per year. And so we have one of this country's leading geophysicists, John Nichol. And by the way, you can get this debate from us. It's called the Age of the Earth Debate. We have it on an MP3 CD you can get, or you could download it. Just go to kgov.com. I'll try to put a link to the debate in today's show summary at KGov. Oh, and by the way, in the last year, we had 250,000 times people went to the different web pages at our website, 250,000 times, which is fun. And our two most popular shows, one was Pepsi using aborted baby tissue in the flavor research for their drinks. That was the number one most popular show of the last year. And the number two most popular show was the expose of televangelist Mike Murdoch. If you go to KGOV.com and today's show summary, August 23rd, 2011, we'll put a link to the Age of the Earth debate, and you could listen to this debate between a geophysicist and a mathematician from CU up in Boulder, University of Colorado, against a Christian fundamentalist talk show host pastor, me, and a Christian high school science teacher. So who should win? I mean, the geophysicist and the mathematician who believe the Earth is billions of years old, they should wipe us out, right? In a two-hour moderated debate, they should wipe us out. And it was downtown Denver in front of an audience of about 100 people, and a physicist flew in for the debate from Seattle, and he's an atheist. Online, his name is The Phi, P-H-Y, the physicist at Theology Online. And he watched the debate, and after the debate, he said, and then he put it in writing, he said that even though, of course, he believes the Earth is billions of years old, he said the young Earth side won the debate. We won the debate. We presented the evidence that was powerful and answered the objections of the old earthers. So how is it that Christians could do this? Well, Christians have the Word of God at their disposal, and when we take it literally, we end up head and shoulders above anyone else who thinks that the Bible is not literally accurate. And so, yes, geologists should be giving much greater warnings to governments about earthquake risk. Yes, that should happen. John, that should happen. And today and yesterday were two more examples to you that that should happen, because there are lives at stake and there are eternal souls at stake when geologists turn people away from trusting in the scriptures. And then also, it's really been fun over the last 3 years to look back at the world's largest protest sign. In 3 days from now, on August 26th, it'll be the 3-year anniversary of the world's largest protest sign being unfurled on North Table Mountain overlooking the Denver metropolitan area. You'll really want to check that out. That's a lot of fun. Just go to American Right to Life. You'll see it. And a banquet's coming up September 17th. Be there, Colorado Right to Life.